Why did only one out of 10 lepers who were healed return to Jesus in thanksgiving and worship? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We read the following from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, and I'm reading from the New English Translation. Now, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, raised their voices, and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went along, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell with his face to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to turn back and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to the man, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You know, the above text, and as I mentioned, it's from Luke 17, 11 through 19, that text highlights an occasion when Jesus chose to heal 10 men who had leprosy. Now, from the standpoint of the law, they were ceremonially and therefore legally unclean. They knew this, and they followed the dictates of that law, which forbade them from coming too close to a person who was not a leper. They stood at a distance, says the text, to announce their uncleanness and to ensure that their unclean state would not affect the ceremonially unclean person, the ceremonially clean person. Now, in this case, it was Jesus whom they were remaining aloof from, but so in need were they that they still wanted to gain his attention. They cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That's what the text tells us. Now, I find what transpired after this very interesting. Notice that Jesus did not, at that point, pronounce his healing on them. He said nothing about healing. He simply told the 10 lepers that they should go and show themselves to the Jewish priests. This was in keeping with the Mosaic law for a person who had been healed. Now, that's interesting. However, please note that they were not healed until they went along the way to the priests. It was a step of faith that Jesus essentially expected them to take. They could obey or ignore him. How strong was their faith? Was it enough to appropriate God's healing power? We don't know how strong it was compared with other people's faith, but we do know that their faith was enough to bring healing their way. They had enough faith in the healer, however much God required, for them to be made whole. And notice also that the text tells us that the 10 lepers were healed as they, quote, went along, unquote. Verse 15 tells us that one of the lepers, after realizing he had been healed, quote, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, unquote. He turned back to Jesus, the one who had brought healing. Notice that once he reached Jesus, the text tells us that he fell with his face to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Certainly this was respectful. And more than that, it was actually worshipful. And the narrative also throws in the fact that this particular man was a Samaritan, a person normally hated by Jews, dating back to the Old Testament when Israel became a divided nation in 1 Kings 12. Now here again, we learn that Jesus goes outside the established traditional and accepted order of his day. Though he came to seek and save those who were lost, the house of Israel, that was his main mission, his main focus, he was certainly not above extending grace and healing to those outside the nation of Israel. In general, though, while Jesus walked this earth, it's important to note that his main mission was to do what he could to call the lost sheep of Israel back into the fold. He still had time for those outside that particular fold and reached out to them as well. In this case, we note that he did not deny healing to a Samaritan man. Now, the narrative completes itself by noting that this one particular leper, a Samaritan, returned to Jesus, thanking him for his healing. Now, Jesus' question to the man is very interesting. He asks, hey, weren't there 10 men? All right, where are the other 9? The next question is riveting. Jesus asks, quote, was no one found to turn back and give praise to God except this foreigner? Unquote. Now, from this, we can gather that the other 9 lepers who were also healed were Jewish men. Unlike this one, the Samaritan, they got their healing and went along their way. Either they were so intent on obeying Jesus' instructions that they should present themselves to the Jewish priests, or they were so excited about their healing that they didn't stop to consider that they should at least offer some form of thanksgiving to the man responsible for their healing. Now, in either case, they failed to do what they should have done because they unfortunately worshipped at the altar of self. And because they were Jewish, they were very well aware of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. If anyone fit the bill, it would have been Jesus. It was Jesus. Yet they were really only concerned about their own healing, which was granted to them because of their faith in Christ. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus ends his conversation with the healed Samaritan leper by stating, quote, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well, unquote. And without doubt, Luke's narrative here highlights Jesus' divinity. He was and remains God, very God. He has and continues to have the ability to heal people. And when he walked this earth physically, he used it frequently. Jesus expected gratitude for healing people, not because he needed it, but because it was the correct response for receiving something of such value free of charge. The fact that Jesus physically healed these lepers, though they would still eventually all die physical deaths, is wonderful. However, neither that healing or any other physical healing compares with the eternal nature of salvation, which offers healing to our souls as well as our bodies eventually. Though our current bodies will culminate in our coming physical deaths or rapture, it is through death, it's through that door for the saved individual that the ultimate physical healing occurs when we are given new, glorified bodies that can never become corrupted, faded, or will perish. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 53. Physical healings are wonderful, and for those who have experienced them, either through God's direct hand or through the medical community, they're blessed events. Still, on their best days, those healings do not compare with the healing each person gains through salvation by faith. Jesus assures the one leper that the man's faith made him well. In other words, it's not that the man's faith was its own vehicle through which healing came. The man's faith was actually anchored in the one who was able to perform the healing and did so in response to faith evidenced. His faith opened the door. The leper, who turned back to praise and thank God, was healed because of the fact that he had faith in the one who does heal, just like the other 9. They understood that it was not faith alone that healed, but faith in the one who has the power to heal. This is what's wrong with name it, claim it, or word of faith movement, that group. Their faith is literally in their own faith or their ability to believe. It's not in God's ability to heal, but in the power of faith itself. They believe that if you can marshal enough faith, you can move mountains. And that's not what Jesus said or meant when he said those words. He meant something completely different. These people have divorced faith from God. The object of their faith is really themselves, falsely believing that in Christ God gives us the power to heal ourselves, our families, our situations, or anything that we put our faith toward. This is simply another form, really, of idolatry, because that particular faith has its beginnings and end in the person exercising the faith. It's not true faith. It is a type of conjuring, and that actually makes it worse than idolatry. It's a form of witchcraft. Now, the one leper who returned to Jesus understood that Jesus was the one who healed him of his leprosy. When Jesus told the leper that his faith had made him well, he was simply agreeing that the leper had been right to place his faith in Jesus, because Jesus is the healer, both physically and spiritually, with the latter being far superior to the former. The leper had placed his faith in the source, the person of the healing, not healing itself. Jesus acknowledged that and readily agreed with it. The fact that Jesus did not discourage the leper from thanking him, Jesus, praising God and bowing before him in worship, also supports the fact that Jesus accepted praise and worship for the healing, and only God can do that. Let me ask a couple of questions here as we wind this particular episode down. First, even though only one man came back to Jesus to thank him personally for the healing, is there any evidence that the other nine who did not come back to Jesus lost their healing? No, there's no indication of this at all in the text, anywhere in the scripture. Their healing appears to have been permanent. Second, is it safe to say that prior to Jesus healing the 10 lepers, they had been clearly labeled as unclean? Yes, and their uncleanness kept them out of the main thoroughfare of Jewish life and society, especially where religious activity was concerned, correct? They could not participate as others who were ceremonially clean could and did participate. These lepers had to remain aloof from society or risk further censure. They were ceremonially or legally, as far as the Mosaic law was concerned, unclean. We could almost say that they were spiritually unrighteous. There was nothing they could do to change their status. They required something or someone greater and outside of themselves to make the needed change for them. They could simply receive any healing offered to them or not. That's all they could do. Third, what did it take to make the 10 lepers clean, legally, ceremonially? Clearly, it took an actual and complete healing from God himself. Lepers were society's outcasts. No one wanted to be around them. They were considered contagious. It took a miracle from God to remove the leprosy and the label itself, which is why it had to be done by submitting yourself to the priests. They would inspect you. They would determine whether or not the leprosy was actually gone. And if it was, you would get a clean bill of health. Now, Jesus healed 10 lepers that day. The text says they were healed as they went along their way. They were healed. Going to the priests would allow them to be declared clean because the priests acted as purity inspectors. Passing that test would allow them to once again participate in aspects of Jewish law and ceremony and in Jewish society that they had not enjoyed for some time or possibly ever, depending upon how long they had leprosy. Because they would then be able to participate in all Jewish customs and laws stemming from the Mosaic law given to Moses by God, they would once again be in the position of being able to have fellowship with God, because they could then draw close to him in worship. Those who could not enter into the various aspects of worship in Jewish life would not be able to have fellowship with God. They remained at a distance. And here we are in our day and age, having salvation for those who have it. And with that, we have the door to fellowship open, and we could potentially walk through. And yet, how many of us do not pursue fellowship with God? How many of us reject it? We, like the 9 lepers, go on our merry way, living our own life, doing what we want to do. But we don't worry about, we aren't concerned with growing close to God. Now, the 9th leper came back to literally fellowship with Jesus. He returned with thanksgiving in his heart to overflowing. His gratefulness forced him to his knees before God the Son. Praise for God flowed from his heart and over his lips. He was so grateful. He couldn't thank Jesus enough. He was in fellowship at that point with Jesus. The other 9 lepers? Well, they got their healing and they went away. Apparently, they had no time for fellowship. We can assume that even after they realized they had been healed and even saw the 1 leper going back to Jesus, they kept going. Fellowship just wasn't on the schedule for them. Too busy with externals now that they had their healing. In some ways, Luke's narrative of the 10 lepers highlights different reactions to being saved. And we'll talk more about this in an upcoming audio episode. But they gained salvation, but never really stopped to consider the fellowship aspect of it. Like the 9 lepers, they're overjoyed to have quote-unquote salvation, or in their case, healing. They continue to go their way, paying little to no attention to the individual who provided that salvation or healing. Is it any wonder their joy and potential fellowship with God dissipates and sometimes disappears altogether? I can imagine them getting back into society, the nine, having their healing declared clean by the priests, getting back into the flow of society, and eventually doing their own thing, not even really concerned about living the life the way they were supposed to. You know, there's nothing in the narrative to suggest that these lepers ever became lepers again, as I mentioned. Though they eventually died physically, it likely had no connection to leprosy. Their healing of leprosy, I believe, was permanent for the duration of their early lives. 10 lepers were saved from their leprosy. One returned to Jesus for fellowship. The other 9 didn't care about that. They wanted healing, and they got it. That's all they were interested in obtaining from Jesus. Just heal me. Make me well. How about you? Do you have salvation from God? If so, you need to increase your fellowship with him. That door is open. Is he standing on the outside of it, knocking, trying to get in, with you ignoring him, as he is in Revelation 3:20, as he stands knocking on the door of the Laodicean church? That's a church. A group of believers are inside. They had become so lukewarm, God was ready to spit them out of his mouth. How about you? It's part of the process, fellowship, and if we ignore it, we do so to our own detriment. We need to decide that we will be like that one leper, that we will return to Jesus every day to seek him, worshiping him in fellowship and in truth and in spiritual worship. That is how we fellowship with Christ. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. This has been actually number 12 in our ongoing series of Christ Our Righteousness. We'll be back with part 13 the next time. And until we meet, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.